Chapter 3. Matchmaking. After reading only a couple of chapters of Left Behind, Peter knew he had to find out what happened next. However, his mum wanted to hear all about Australia, and when his dad came home from work that afternoon, they spent hours looking at his photos together. It wasn't until later that night that Peter finally had the opportunity to read once more, and then he couldn't put the book down. Shortly after midnight, he finally finished the last chapter and turned out the light. Only then he couldn't sleep. He tossed and turned as his mind raced in circles. The story had ended with a horrible and dramatic change in Nicolae Carpathia, the fictitious Antichrist of the Left Behind series. All through the narrative he'd been a charismatic, humble leader whom others had elevated to a position of authority. But at the end of the story, he murdered two men with the guard's handgun and hypnotized all the witnesses into believing the victims shot one another. Peter felt confused and perplexed, and he struggled with whether or not this was something he wanted to investigate. It could change his life. Doors that he'd bolted shut might have to be reopened. But as much as he struggled to escape from his thoughts, he couldn't get the story out of his mind. The narrative had made the events it forecasted sound so plausible and real. Maybe one day he would wake up to the news that Russia had invaded Israel. Maybe he would wish desperately that he'd been raptured away rather than face the terrifying scenarios that had been portrayed in the book. Maybe this was an urgent matter that required his immediate attention. Lying awake for hours, Peter fell asleep only after promising himself that he would talk the matter over with Andrew. There would be plenty of opportunities to talk to Andrew in a couple of weeks' time, and maybe if the subject came up that weekend, he'd see what Thomas had to say. It was past noon when Peter woke up late again the next day. When he came downstairs, his mum was in the kitchen baking, and she quickly laid out a wonderful spread. After he'd eaten two large submarine sandwiches with everything on them, she brought out a tin of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. Peter hadn't tasted such soft, chewy morsels since leaving home. "Mum, you're the best cook in the world," he exclaimed. "I'd forgotten how delicious your cookies are." There was a surprising sigh from his mother as she mixed up something in a bowl. "What's the matter?" he questioned. Another sigh. Mary Bright turned the mixer off and slowly wiped her hands on her apron. "I wish you weren't going back to Australia," she said, looking at him sadly. "It's been very lonely around here without you. Is there any way Dad and I could talk you into staying?" Peter was at a loss for words. "We never hear from you," she continued gently. "And I know you've been busy, Peter. You work very hard, but we feel so out of touch with your life. Dad and I have missed you so much." There was a long pause while Peter leaned back in his chair and wondered what he should say. He loved his family, but he had no desire to move back to Canada. His life, his work, his everything was in Australia. Everything, that is, except family and, well, maybe Thomas. Perhaps there was another way to relieve his parents' loneliness. "Mum," he replied kindly, "it would be too hard to start my business all over again. I have to stay in Australia. But why don't you and Dad move out to Nova Scotia when Dad retires at the end of the year? Then you'd be close to Andrew and James and all of your grandchildren." Peter sensed that his mum wasn't exactly enthused with his suggestion. "But what about you, Peter?" she begged. "Aren't you ever going to come back to stay? What do you have in Australia that you don't have here?" "Mum, it's just become my home. I'm happy there. I've made new friends. His mum looked at him compassionately, but it was a look that implied he wasn't giving her the whole story. "Peter," she asked gently, "are you still running away?" Was he? Was that the reason? Why couldn't she just accept that he was happy where he was? With a shrug, Peter shook his head carelessly. "No, I don't think so. I feel very settled over there." He tried to convince his mum how difficult it would be to sell his business, to get new clientele, to find new workers, to readjust to the different climate zones and vegetation. Why, it was absolutely crazy to even consider such a move. But his mum seemed to feel the problem went much deeper. "You know, Peter," she said softly, coming over to sit down beside him, "we all loved Verity. She was a wonderful girl. It was terrible that she was taken away when she was so young, but..." Peter's mum reached over to pat his arm. She was looking at him in a firm yet compassionate manner. "Verity never wanted to destroy your life. She only wanted to enrich it. She would have been devastated to think that 10 years later you'd still be bitter." Peter held his head in his hands, unwilling to openly admit that what his mum said was true. Yet a certain line from Verity's last letter still smouldered away in his heart. I hope that my influence on your life won't be to turn you away from God, or my friendship has had no value, and you would have been better off without it. Have you found any nice girls in Australia? His mother asked, interrupting his thoughts. I've tried to, he said dismally, but nothing ever lasts very long. I don't know why. I just can't seem to feel anything deeper than friendship. Well, his mum began, rather hopefully, there's a lovely family down the road from us. They moved here a few years ago. We've invited them over for dinner next week. And I suppose they have a daughter? Peter deduced with a smile. A beautiful one, she beamed. She's also very outgoing, athletic, and only a year younger than you. She just turned 28 last month. Peter laughed. The description sounded great. Perfect, in fact. But he was amused that his mother had taken to matchmaking. Mum, are you starting to think I'm a lost cause? His mother stood up with a quiet laugh and ruffled his hair. No, not a lost cause, Peter, but maybe in need of a little help. Having finished his meal, Peter took his dishes to the sink. There were plenty of bowls and pans waiting to be washed, so he turned on the hot water and grabbed some detergent. His mother turned her mixer back on. Is she religious? Peter asked, after a few minutes of silence. A sudden thought was troubling him. Was this girl a ploy to bring him back to God? His mother looked at him in surprise, obviously wondering why he'd asked. Well, her parents belong to our church. She doesn't? No, not yet. I see. He felt relieved. Then after a pause, his mother spoke softly. Peter, you're never going to find another Verity. She was one of a kind. She was unique. It's time to let go.